Father, we do thank you for this time together. We thank you for bringing us together to look at your word again this week. And we pray that you would fill us with wisdom that only you can give. We pray that you would help us to grow in our understanding of how you want us to live, and that you would give us the strength to carry that out as we go forth from here. We thank you that you forgive our sins. We thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit. And we pray now that your Spirit would be among us to teach us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we started last week looking at what the scriptures as a whole really say about our speech. And what I want to do now is move into some specific sins of the tongue, speech sins. And we'll do this for a couple weeks and maybe spend a week or two talking about the positive use of the tongue, the right kind of use of our words and of our speech. But what I want to focus on tonight, and we'll just see if we get done with this, we can move on and talk about something else. But I want to start off talking about what I think is one of the most destructive forms of speech, and yet one that is all too common, and that is gossip. All right, so let's talk about gossip. And so let's open up to Proverbs, and we got a few verses here that we will read. Let's see, Joseph, you want to read Proverbs 16:28?
All right.
And then, Jessica, you want to get 18:8? And Deborah, you want to read 26:20-22? And we might have a couple more verses here in a few minutes. So.
You said 16...
16:28.
Yeah?
Yeah, go ahead. Right. Yeah.
A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisper separates close friends.
I have 18:8. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body.
26:22. Without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts.
Okay, great. What translation were you reading there?
It's like NIV.
Okay. Yeah, they're different... terms that are used here, and they're translated differently in different translations. Sometimes the person that we're talking about tonight is called a gossip, sometimes a whisperer, sometimes a talebearer. We'll see that the New Testament term for this same kind of person is a busybody. Okay, so that's kind of what we're talking about here. Now, gossip is something that we're probably all very familiar with. If you had to define gossip, what would you say it is? How would you describe gossip?
It's talking bad about somebody else.
Okay. Yeah, in its simplest form, it's talking negatively about another person, and especially when they're not around to either refute what you're saying or repent of any sin that's been identified or, what have you. They're just not there. So you're really talking about somebody behind their back. This is one way you can think about gossip. Gossip is inappropriate conversation about someone else to inappropriate others at an inappropriate time and in inappropriate ways. Okay, so think about it. Are there times where you might have a legitimate reason for saying something that makes somebody else look bad?
Yes.
Certainly, yes. I mean, if somebody... if you find out that your coworker has been embezzling from the company, then yes, by all means, call up the boss or the cops or whatever and let them know. Okay, that's not gossip, that's justice. But this is where you're saying something negative about someone, and you're saying it to an inappropriate audience, people who aren't part of the problem and aren't going to be part of the solution, and you have inappropriate motives. You don't have the right, you don't have good reasons for saying this. It's really just to harm your neighbor, and because you have this sense of just self-importance, really, wanting to pass along this juicy little tidbit that you've got, and you're doing it at an appropriate time. You know, the context is just not right. Okay? Now, the information that you pass along when you gossip, or that somebody else passes along when they gossip, does it matter whether or not it's true or false? Yeah, you're shaking your head. No, I mean, it really doesn't matter. Okay? If you make up something, or you twist something, you distort the truth in some way, we might say that crosses over from gossip into slander, and that's something we may come back and talk about again, because that's a problem as well. But you can even take things that are true, and you can use the truth to damage others and to hurt others. And this is one thing we really need to understand, because a lot of times if a gossip is challenged, they'll say, well, what I'm saying is true. Okay? But is that in itself a justification for what's being passed on? What does Paul say in Ephesians about speaking the truth? Speak the truth in
love.
Yeah. And as soon as the truth gets separated from love, in a very real sense, it ceases to be the truth. It's a distortion. For it to be true truth, that truth has to be communicated in a spirit of love. Sometimes, you know, somebody will say, well, you know, I just tell it like it is. Okay? I just tell it like it is. Okay, the Bible doesn't say to tell it like it is. It says tell it like it is in love. Okay? I mean, that's really what we're called to do as Christians. So, just saying something that is factually accurate does not mean that you're being loving or honest or righteous in your speech. Okay? It's more than that. It's got to be truth plus love at all times. If it's truth without love, it's not the truth, not the way God intended you to speak the truth. So there's a form of truth telling that you can do that is actually harmful to your neighbor, and we're actually intending to injure your neighbor in some way or injure your neighbor's reputation. Now, in Proverbs, you know, as we read different translations here, different terms are used. Sometimes the gossip is called a whisper, sometimes a talebearer. Proverbs also talks about backbiting, which is related, and I talked about the New Testament terminology of backbiting. I'm sorry about being a busybody. The reality is, and this would have been true in the ancient world too, but especially in today's world, gossip does not have to be spoken. You know, all those may be forms of speaking that are being addressed. But think about all the other ways that we have of gossiping, you know, sort of at our fingertips, quite literally. Yes, yes, you can text out something that's gossip, you know, it's gossip. Email it out. You can post it somewhere. You can do a blog about it. You can set up a website dedicated to gossiping about somebody if you want to. That's the kind of world we live in. So I don't think that, you know, things like the World Wide Web or texting, they don't make the sin worse necessarily, but they do in some ways magnify or amplify the wickedness. So now, you know, with the internet, we can broadcast our gossip to the ends of the earth in a matter of minutes. Okay? And that's... In a sense, you could say it makes what we say, what we write, even more dangerous, even more powerful than it has been. You know, Proverbs says that where there are many words, sin is not lacking. And we could also probably say where there are many texts or where there are many Facebook posts or where there are many blog posts, sin is not lacking. Because all of those things provide an occasion, an opportunity for us to sin. And again, one of the big ways that we do this is in gossip. I know, I'm sure this is a made-up story, but I know a story of, maybe it's one of those preacher stories, I'm sure I heard it somewhere from a preacher, and you know, preachers just make up stories that prove a point. But a guy came to confess his sin of gossip to the pastor. And he said, well, I don't, because he'd been confronted about it, he said, well, I don't really see what the big deal is anyway. And the pastor said, listen, I want you to do, I want you to go home, I want you to go up on your roof, I want you to take a pillow with feathers in it. I want you to cut that pillow open, let all the feathers out, and then come back. That's what the guy does, and he comes back, and he says, well, what was that all about? And the pastor says, well, go gather up all of those feathers. And, of course, he's like, I can't do that. And he's like, well, that's what your gossip, as you've spread forth this gossip, that's what it's doing. It just gets out of control. You can't contain it. You don't know where it's going to go next. You don't know what kind of damage it's going to do. So this sin of gossip, I think, is a big one. You know, it's interesting, like, you know, a couple of my kids now are teenagers, and they've gotten to the age where actually this becomes an issue. You know, from about the time you become a teenager, or maybe even younger in some cases now, but this becomes an issue where people like to talk about other people. And of course, nobody ever gossips about the virtues of another person. It's always about their flaws or about their sins. That's what we want to call attention to. Okay, you know, it's like if you went out and bought a new table, and then, you know, some young child came over to your house and, you know, took a hammer and just bashed in the middle of that table and put a crack in it. You know, every time you looked at that table, where's the first place your eyes would go? To that crack. That's what you would notice, the flaw. And that's how we tend to be with other people. The things we notice the most are their flaws. Madison, we're talking about gossip.
Okay.
The Proverbs. So you can open up to Proverbs 16:28, sort of, one of the verses we've started looking at. So gossiping is speaking ill of another person without them present. And they're not present, so they can't refute it. They can't repent of it. They can't clarify it. And, of course, gossip has this effect of tearing down and destroying. Can you want to look at Leviticus 19? I think it's verse 16. Yeah.
Is Leviticus in the New Testament?
It's in the Old Testament. It's right there at the beginning. It's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Yeah, I'm sorry. I took you out of Proverbs.
Leviticus
19:16.
You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the wife of your neighbor. I am the Lord.
Okay. Think about what this law says, and we're going to see the same kind of thing in Proverbs or similar things, but you know, it's in the law, so it's very straightforward. You shall not go about as a talebearer. That means to be one who gossips. Did anybody look that up in a different translation and have a different word there for talebearer?
Slander.
Slander. Okay. Deborah, did you happen to look that up?
It was Leviticus 1.
19:16. I think you had gossip in the book of Proverbs. I'd be interested to see if they translated it that way too.
It says, do not go about spreading slander.
Okay, spreading slander. So slander, mm-hmm. being a talebearer, you know, so telling things about other people, being a gossip, I mean, all those things, again, are related here. But look at what this is linked with, okay? It says, don't go about as a talebearer among your people, and don't take a stand against the life of your neighbor, okay? Now, in the Hebrew mind, you know, this is part of the Hebrew scriptures, and you can, you know, when you look at the law, when you look at the Hebrew, you know, the Old Testament, you find that things that are put next to each other are almost always webbed together, connected together in some way. It's not, they don't think in terms of discrete points, like, you know, these wouldn't be put in bullet points, but these are somehow organically connected, the two parts of this one verse. So being a talebearer is connected with what? Or being a gossip?
Taking a stand against your neighbor.
Yeah, yeah. And destroying his life, really. Taking a stand against the life of your neighbor, that's a way of describing destroying his life, really. I mean, that's what's in view there. So gossip, this talebearing it's not just a violation. You know, some people say, well, what commandment does this violate of the Ten Commandments? And certainly, it violates the ninth commandment about bearing false witness. It's really the ninth commandment that has to do with our speech primarily. But it also violates the sixth commandment, do not murder. Because it's damaging the life and the livelihood of your neighbor. That's how serious it's seen in the law. Now go back over to Proverbs 16:28. And we'll see further the effect of this. The way my translation has this, it says a perverse man sows strife. I think yours, Joseph, didn't it say a dishonest man? Yes. So a dishonest man or a perverse man sows strife. Okay, sowing is farm. That's the language of farming, right? So what do? You sow the seed, and then a crop comes up. Okay, so what's the seed that's being sown here?
Strife.
Okay, well, that's going to be the harvest. That's what you're going to get.
Dishonesty.
Dishonesty, yeah. Kind of dishonesty or perverse speech is kind of how my translation has it. And then again, you've got in parallel with that, okay, what goes with that? A whisperer, okay, because a lot of times gossip, you know, it's kind of whispered. We don't want others to hear us. It's just between us. Did you hear? You know, did you know? Okay. A whisper, what's the result? There in the second part of the verse.
Tear apart friends.
Tears apart friends, yeah, separates friends. Okay. Nobody shows up and says, I am the town gossip, and I am going to ruin your relationship with your best friend. Okay. Nobody does that. Okay. But that is the net effect. That is what ultimately happens. To spread gossip sows strife. It destroys friendships. It can ruin families. It can ruin churches. It can ruin businesses. It destroys relationships. Destroys friendships. How many of you have seen good friendships ruined by gossip? Okay, I mean, I know I have. Yeah, I mean, I certainly have. Yeah. This is, you know, it's very obviously true. And yet it's a hard lesson for us to learn. Let's look at what the passage in chapter 20, is that 26 we read? 26, 20 to 22. What this adds to it, okay? So chapter 26, beginning verse 20. Okay, where there's no wood, okay, so now we've got a different image. It's not a farming image, but it's a fire image. Where there's no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Okay. What does that mean?
Life is good when there's no gossip.
Yeah, when there's no gossip going around, people tend to get along. Okay, believe it or not, when there's no gossip.
Where is that?
This is 26:20, Proverbs 26:20.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, where there's no wood, the fire goes out, and where there's no talebearer, strife ceases. Okay, so I mean, this is the opposite. What we just saw is that where there is gossip, there's strife. You know, if you sow gossip, the harvest you're going to reap is that of strife, broken relationships, ruptured friendships. That's going to be the result. Here we see the opposite of it, okay? So, just like a, you know, you can't have a fire without wood. You can't have a fire without fuel. And, you know, if you don't want a fire, it's interesting. James 3 actually picks up on this image and says that the tongue, you know, it sets things on fire and causes great destruction. Matthew Henry, I think it's his commentary on this verse, he talks about how our words of gossip are like fireballs that we're just shooting out, you know, starting fires in different places. So your speech can do one of two things. Either your speech can be grace that puts the fire out, that pours water on the fire, or it can be like gasoline that you pour on the fire, wood that you feed the fire, that fans the flames and just, you know, causes even more destruction and more damage. Okay, that's really the image here. Okay. And then it goes on from there. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood is to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Okay, so a contentious man or woman looks for ways to stir things up. And one of the ways that you can stir the pot, stir things up, is through your through gossiping, through being a talebearer. And then here, you know, verse 22 is interesting. And this one's repeated in more than one place in Proverbs. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles. That's how we describe gossip a lot of times, right? It's juicy gossip, you know. It says they go down to the inmost body, okay? Okay, why do we like to share gossip? I'm sure we've all done it at one time.
Is gossip complaining?
It can be a form of complaining about another person.
Okay. I think we like to do it for attention.
Okay.
Gets us attention and gets people listening.
Yeah. You kind of make yourself the center of attention because you're the one who's in the know.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got this information. And then you can share it with whomever you choose. And that's one reason why we like to hear it as well. Oh, I have been one of the chosen ones to be given this top secret, confidential information about another person. So it is, you know, we like to spread it. We like to receive it. But here's one thing we need to remember, and this too is why gossip separates friends from one another. If somebody gossips to you, do you think they'll gossip about you?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And this is one of the reasons, again, why gossip destroys relationships. It destroys trust. Because we know, you know, deep down, okay, if he's gossiping about that guy over there, he's probably going to be gossiping about me next. And he gets something on me, he's going to share that with other people as well. Okay. So you see the problem there. Let's turn over to the New Testament, and we'll read a few passages there that relate to this. Sarah, you want to get 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12? And then Joseph will come back around to you. You want to get 1 Timothy 5:13? And then, Madison, would you want to read 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 to 16? The common thread in all of these passages is, at least in a lot of translations, they use that word busybody, which, as I said, that's kind of the New Testament word for talebearer or gossip. And we'll see what we have to say. So 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 11 and 12.
Right. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living.
Okay, think about this. You know, that term busybody, what's ironic about that term?
They're not busy.
They're not busy at all. Yeah, usually the busybody, you know, the house isn't clean, the Bible hasn't been read, prayer time hasn't been had, they haven't done their chores, they haven't had time for any of that. And that's because they're not tending to their own business, they're consumed with
other
people's business. Yes.
So what else did it say? What are we supposed to be doing?
We're going to talk about that in just a minute. Okay. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But actually, in this verse, you already get a hint of, if you have been a busybody, what to do. Paul describes the busybodies as those who have lived in a disorderly manner. They haven't been busy with work. They've been busy sticking their nose in other people's business. And Paul here basically says, mind your own business. Okay? Great principle right there. Mind your own business. And so he says, do your own work. You know, go work, get busy, occupy yourself with something productive and profitable. And do your work in quietness, okay? So shut your mouth and get to work. And he says, and eat your own bread. You know, basically, you know, mind your own business. Do what needs to be done. Don't mess around so much with the affairs of other people, okay? That's really what Paul's saying here. Jane Austen once made the comment. She said, everyone is surrounded by a neighborhood of spies. Okay, in a sense, that's what we're doing with each other, spying on each other, you know, so we can get that little piece of information to go share with somebody else, okay? Being a spy like that, okay, you know, looking at what other people are doing so you might have something you can share with others, that's being a busybody. That's kind of the idea here. Okay, Joseph, you want to read the next passage for us, 1 Timothy 5:13, and you actually might need to back up and start in verse, well, let me just say, this is, in this part of 1 Timothy, Paul is giving Timothy instructions for different people in the church. And I think this is part of the instructions given to younger widows. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so younger widows. Obviously, it applies to everybody, but this is specifically what they would have needed to have been told. So you can then just read verse 13.
Okay. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies saying what they should not.
Okay, same kind of thing here. You've got these women in this case. Now, I'm not saying men don't commit this sin too, but it's, I mean, here's addressed specifically to the women. And these are women who are widows, so maybe they don't have a family to look after, so they don't have a whole lot to do, and so they don't have telephones in that day, so how do they get the latest gossip?
They go house to house.
They go house to house. And they're just collecting gossip, little trinkets of information that then they can pass on at the next house. Okay? That's kind of the idea. And then what is Paul's recommendation? What does Paul command them to do?
Get married.
Okay, well, that's part of it. Yeah, that's certainly. That will keep them busy. Yeah. Wander from house to house, not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Okay? That's a definition of gossip. They're just saying things that shouldn't be said. I mean, that's the thing, you know, once you've said something, you can't take it back, okay? You know, it's like once you send an email, you can't unsend it, okay? It's just, it's out there then, okay? You can seek forgiveness for it, you can try to soften the consequences of it, all of that, but you can't take your words back. They're saying things they ought not to have said. And in this case, it's especially gossip. So yeah, Paul does go on and talk about how, you know, they get married, they can bear children, manage the house, all that kind of thing. So you've got that there. And then one more passage, which I think is really interesting where this shows up. 1 Peter chapter 4, Madison, that's verses 14 to 16, I think.
If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Did you say 14 through 16 or 14 through 15?
Yeah, go on. Read through 16 would be good.
Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name.
Okay. Mine has a little bit more in verse 14, or verse 15, I'm sorry. Let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Does yours have that? Does it have something like that? Oh, interesting. Okay, well, we'll go with that. So this is what it says in verse... So let me give you the context here. 1 Peter is written to Christians who are suffering, okay? Christians who are suffering persecution for the faith. And Peter says to them here, he says, look, if you are suffering persecution, you know, if you're suffering because you're righteous and you're faithful and because you love Jesus and because Jesus is your highest loyalty, and people around you don't like that, and so they are making life hard for you, then know that that's a glorious thing, and that your suffering is going to be rewarded. God sees what you're going through. He's with you in it. And he's going to bless you in the midst of that trial, that tribulation. But then he says in verse 15, let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a busybody in other people's matters. Okay? So he's saying to these Christians, look, if you've been suffering for doing what is right, okay, he goes on to say in verse 16, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in the matter. So if you're suffering as a Christian because you're a Christian, great. God will bless you for that. He's going to turn all that suffering into glory for you. But if you're suffering because you are a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a busybody, then that's not suffering that God's going to bless. That's not redemptive suffering in any way. Now what's interesting about verse 15, you've got murderers. Okay, maybe some Christians were tempted to retaliate against those who were persecuting their brothers and sisters in the faith. You've got thieves. You know, maybe enough Christians were suffering that they got really, really hungry, didn't have very much to eat, and they were tempted to steal. Okay? Peter says, don't suffer as a thief. Okay, an evildoer, that'd probably be one who gives in to the idolatrous practices of the pagans. You know, you decide, being a Christian's too hard, I'm just going to go with the flow. And then what's the fourth thing in the list?
Busybody.
Okay? If you were given a list, you know, which one of these sins does not really belong here? Okay? And yet there it is. It's stuck right in there with these other things. And I think that takes us back to the passage in Leviticus that we read. Okay? To be a talebearer, to be a gossip, to be a busybody, is to take a stand against your neighbor's life. It really can become a form of murder. Okay? You can really affect somebody else's livelihood. You can tear somebody's reputation down, so it becomes very, you know, things become very difficult for them. So it is, in a way, a form of murder. It's a form of thievery. Okay, you're stealing from someone. You're stealing their reputation. You're stealing information that doesn't belong to you and that shouldn't be passed along. And you're doing evil. You're doing what maybe we'd expect pagans to do, not Christians, but you're not doing what people in the church ought to be doing. Okay? So being a busybody obviously is a very serious matter, and here it's defined as being a busybody in other people's matters. Again, it's minding their business when you ought to just mind your own. Okay? That's the idea there. So what does the busybody do? You put all this together. The busybody tries to gather information that can be used against other people. The busybody may ask a whole lot of prying questions, you know, trying to get information out of people. You know, it's kind of, you know, pushing in where they really don't belong. Or maybe just observing things, that, you know, like the spy that Jane Austen talks about that they can then use against other people. The busybody gathers this information and then becomes a talebearer, passing it on to others. Now, here's the thing, okay? For gossip, for there to really be gossip, there has to be not only a speaker, but also a hearer. Okay, there's got to be one who speaks the gossip. There's got to be one who hears it. There's going to be one who sends out the gossip, and there's going to be somebody in the receiving it. Okay? Now, let's turn back over to Proverbs, because Proverbs gives us instruction about how to deal with this. The reason gossip gets passed along is not just because the one who's gossiping wants to be kind of the center of attention, okay, and have information that others don't have, and of course that information is power, and so then that person can, you know, can use that information in various kinds of ways. Passing on gossip is sin, but being an audience for gossip is a sin as well. Giving gossip a market, okay, is a sin as well. Entertaining that gossip, listening to it, taking the same delight in hearing it that the other person has and spreading it, it is just as sinful. It makes you a gossiper as well. Even if you don't take that information and pass it on further, if that's all you do, you become in some way complicit in the act of gossip. Now look at Proverbs 11, verse 13. I'll read this one. Proverbs 11, 13. A talebearer reveals secrets. Okay, so there's our gossip. Okay, the busybody has pried enough to get some kind of secret out of somebody. Okay, the spy has found something out to share, okay, about somebody else. Okay, so the talebearer is going to reveal this secret. Okay, but what does the faithful person do? He who is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Okay, means he's not going to pass on this destructive information about other people. Okay, if he saw something he shouldn't have seen or heard something he shouldn't have heard, it stops right there. Okay, he's not going to pass it along. Okay, but it does raise the question for us. I think we need to give this a little bit more attention. Probably just about all of us, I would guess somewhat regularly, have someone who comes to us with, you know, a little piece of gossip, okay, that they're passing along. And sometimes people don't have really malicious intentions in passing it along. I think for some people, gossip becomes so much a matter of habit that it's just kind of like conversation, okay? You know, you heard something about somebody else and then you pass it along without giving thought to whether or not it's helpful, whether or not it's kind, whether or not it's constructive, whether or not it's something that ought to be shared. Okay? I think that can just become a matter of habit for us. We're just kind of looking for something to say, and that's just what comes out. Okay? Now, we saw last week, Proverbs has a lot to say about how we should choose our words carefully. We need a filter over our mouths to keep us from saying everything that might otherwise come out. You know, we talked about last week how our speech is the overflow of the heart. Okay? You know, your words that come out, that's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, as Jesus says. Okay? So, if that's what's inside of you, okay, that's what's going to come out, okay, sooner or later. But I think you know, we can say, okay, we know we shouldn't pass any gossip along if we come across something. But we still have this issue: what do we do if somebody comes to us and they start to share gossip? What do we do in that situation?
Well, what I've done is I've said, hey, have you talked to that person about it? Why don't you talk to them about it? Because I can't do anything.
Right. Yeah, that's very good. What else have any of you found anything similar to that or different from that that's helpful? I think that's good because here's the thing. When something gets passed along, okay, you're either part of the problem or part of the solution. Okay? If you're part of the problem, then obviously you need to deal with whatever your part in that problem is. Okay? If you're part of the solution, you need to do with whatever you can to be a part of the solution. But if you're not part of the problem, not part of the solution, then you need to say, I have no business knowing this. So, you know, situations will vary, and what you say to someone will have to vary depending on the context, okay? You know, the relationship, what they're sharing with you. But I think there are four basic questions that you can ask to someone who is gossiping that can help stop them in their tracks. You know, you're pouring water on that fire instead of feeding that fire more fuel. It's a way of containing the gossip and keeping it from sowing its bitter harvest of disrupted relationships and broken friendships and everything else. First question to ask is just, why are you telling me this? Okay, what right do I have to this information? Okay, I think that's a good question to ask. Why are you sharing this with me? Because a lot of times there's not a good reason. I mean, if it's gossip, there's not a good reason for it to be shared. Okay, another question to ask is, where'd you get your information? Are you sure that's right? Are you sure that's accurate? You know, the Bible talks about establishing a matter on the basis of two or three witnesses. Okay, if it's just you and a gossip, you know, that doesn't constitute, you know, a factual account of what happened. Scripture says there's got to be two or three witnesses to something for it to stand up in a court of law. So that's a high standard, you know, for truth, okay? But that's how we ought to think about it. You got to ask that question. Have you verified your information? Have you gone back to the source? You know, you're telling me this about this person, but do you really know? Could this, you know, if you heard this secondhand, and you know, there's always two sides to every story. Have you gotten the other side? In fact, Proverbs says that. One seems righteous until another comes along and pleads his case. How often does that happen? You know, you hear one side of the story and you think one thing about the matter, and then you finally hear the other side of it and you realize, oh, wow, this is totally different than what I thought. Okay? In fact, that almost always happens. Okay? If you haven't heard both sides, you don't know what happened. You don't know the whole story. Okay? So there are two questions you've got. Why are you sharing this with me? What right do I have to this information? Is this something I need to know? Is this helpful for me to know this? And then second, where did you get this information? Is it accurate? Is it true? Is it fair? Have you heard both sides? Third question, what do you want me to do about this? Okay, sometimes, maybe by the time you realize you're you know, somebody's sharing gossip with you, and they shared it so quickly you couldn't break in and ask why they were saying this, but then the next question would be, well, what do you want me to do about this? Okay, this is kind of what you're getting at. I mean, it's, you know, if you've shared this information with me, how can I be a part of solving this issue? If this is somebody that we know who's in sin, okay, are you saying that I should go to this person? Is that why you told me? And of course, you'll find very quickly that gossips don't want you to do that. They're not interested in that happening. They don't want you to go help the person repent. Of course, I think the last question asked would be very similar to that, and that is, what are you doing about this? Are you going to go confront this person? Do you want us to go together? Is that why you shared this with me? We can go together right now. Okay, I know the story of one woman who she moved to a new place, and you know, before she knew it, she was kind of in the gossip loop. And so when that phone would ring and she'd pick it up and she's getting the latest gossip, she said, you know, well, if that's happened, why don't you and I go over there right now and just talk to her about this and confront her about her sin? It's like, you know, hang up. No, that's not what I was looking for. You know, I wanted a, you know, an audience who would, you know, who would give me attention for this gossip I've spread. Not, I didn't want to do anything about it. I just wanted to kind of, you know, revel in another person's weaknesses and flaws. And so there you go. I mean, I think that, you know, obviously you have to use wisdom in any given situation. So I'm not giving you a formulaic approach. But those are the kinds of questions we need to ask when we find ourselves confronted with some kind of gossip, tale-bearing, busybodies, that kind of thing. And this, you know, it's a very real sin. And yes, you know, most of us have seen friendships disrupted by this. I've seen churches torn apart by this. I have seen, you know, people who are the best of friends separated by this kind of thing. And then reconciliation becomes very, very difficult because, again, it destroys trust. It destroys trust. And you can seek forgiveness, you know, and you can grant forgiveness, but it takes a lot of time to rebuild the bonds of trust that really make for a good friendship. So everything Proverbs has to say about this and warning about this, it's funny because I think we kind of think of this as kind of a modern sin. And yet, you know, you go back to the ancient Hebrews, you know, several thousand years ago, and it's all the same stuff. You know, people are people, sin is sin, it's all the same. Let me make one last comment before we really wrap this up, or as we wrap this up. Because I've said a lot about being a busybody tonight, and I think that those are things that we definitely need to take to heart. But there is another side to things. Being in community with one another, you know, we're all part of various communities, you know, church, neighborhood, what have you. Being a part of a community means that you will take an interest in the lives of others. It means that you will pay attention to what's going on in the lives of others around you. You'll engage others around you. You will ask questions to those around you so that you can better serve them. So you find out that they're weeping over something so you can weep with them. If they're rejoicing over something, you can rejoice with them. If they've got a burden, you can bear it with them. Okay, if you, you know, so if you take what I said tonight about being a busybody and you say, okay, well, I'm not going to pry into anybody's information. I'm not going to ask anybody else any questions at all because I don't want to be a busybody, okay? You never get to know anybody. You won't do any good in your communities that you're a part of that way either. It takes wisdom. And you have to be motivated by love to do this rightly, to ask the right kind of questions, to know when to stop asking questions, to know when to look into something and when to look away, to know what to share and what to keep to yourself, those secrets that you just bury, that you don't reveal to anybody, that you may have learned inadvertently. Okay, all those kinds of things, okay? All of this that we've said about not being a gossip and not being a busybody, that's got to somehow be in tension with living in community with each other, taking an interest in one another, serving one another, asking one another questions so we can get to know one another. But there's a world of difference between the two because the one is motivated by this self-seeking desire for attention. It's really all about self-promotion. And it's really all about how you can tear others down and revel in their weaknesses. Okay, that's being a busybody and a gossip. The other, wanting to be a loving member of a larger community, is taking an interest in other people so that you can share in their joys and share in their sorrows and bear their burdens with them. And that's really what Scripture calls us to. So yes, mind your own business, okay? But there's also a legitimate sense in which you can be involved in the business of others, but only for the sake of promoting their welfare and the good of the community as a whole. And I think that's what God calls us to. All right, let me open this up and let you, you know, if you've got questions about this, or you may have situations, don't gossip about anybody, obviously. But no, if you've got questions about this, or, you know, there's situations you're thinking, okay, how would this apply? You know, this is, you can fire away.
Really shows me how much we need God, like how much I need Him to not be a busybody or fall into that, because it's so easy to when life gets hard and you just want to complain about something, but you say it to somebody that they can't, I mean, they can't help. It's just, that's not what I want to fall into, and that's what I'm realizing right now, and it's like, oh my gosh. God, please help me. Because it's not what's best. What's best is to keep your mouth closed and to stay doing what you need to do.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah, I mean, the book of James, which is almost like a commentary on Proverbs, says be quick to listen and slow to speak. And that definitely applies in these kinds of situations. You know, a lot of damage could be avoided if we just, you know, thought about what we're going to say and asked ourselves, is it kind, is it loving, is it helpful? Mm-hmm. You know, is it constructive or destructive? Is my speech going to build up or tear down? You know? Mm-hmm. No, that's good.
But what about if you see someone sinning in the same sin over and over and you're really close to them? Would it be good to go to them in love and tell them, hey, you shouldn't be doing this, even though you're tearing them down, in a sense.
Yeah, what do y'all think about a situation like that?
Definitely. Like, I mean, if you see somebody that's in sin, committing a sin, you don't go talk about it behind their back and say, hey, this, I can't believe he's doing that. Mm-hmm. You'd be like, you go up to that person, hey, I saw you doing this. Yeah. That's Right. Or you even close your mouth and you just pray. Because God can show people their sin. Mm-hmm. I know He does that with, like, He shows me my sin. But when somebody confronts me and says, hey, you're doing this wrong, it's so hard for me to see that it's wrong until God opens my eyes to see that it's wrong. So really, just the prayer.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, there's a lot of good things there. One thing in the book of Proverbs is there's a lot in Proverbs about taking correction. So what separates the fool, the son who is a fool from the son who is growing in wisdom, it's the willingness to receive correction. Okay? God's put parents in your life and teachers in your life and elders in your life and even in some cases friends in your life so that they can correct you from time to time. Okay? And none of us like to be corrected because it offends our pride, but we have to be willing to submit to correction. I mean, nobody's perfect, right? So we all know we need to be corrected in various ways. The problem is just when it happens, none of us like it. But if the wise son has to receive correction, that means there's a godly way to give correction. Now, there's an ungodly way to try to correct somebody as well, in pride or in arrogance, if it's not motivated by love. Even then, if somebody comes to you and you know they're not speaking to you in love, but they're criticizing you, I think as a rule of thumb, you ought to say, even if this person hates your guts, there's probably some truth in what they're saying about you. And there's probably a lot that you can learn there. And so, take it and then learn from it and don't get all defensive, But even when correction comes in love, sometimes it can be very hard to take that kind of, even if it's very constructive criticism. But if that kind of correction is necessary to growing in wisdom, obviously there's a godly way to give correction. And Paul actually talks about this in Galatians chapter 6. He says, if a brother falls into sin, let one of you who is spiritual correct him in gentleness. So you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and you got to go and do it in a gentle way. Okay? So you're seeking this person's best interests, and you're being led by the Spirit as you go and you offer this correction. Now, the truth is, there are some sins that are small enough that we don't really need to seek to correct them. And Scripture talks about this too. It says, just let love cover a multitude of sins. Okay, if we were just going to confront one another about sin, and we're going to do that with every sin, that's pretty much all we'd ever be doing, is confronting one another constantly. Okay, obviously, we've got other things God wants us to do, so we're not just constantly correcting one another or confronting one another about sin. But when you see somebody in a sin that is more significant, more serious, okay, pray about it, pray for the person. If you're convinced that God wants you to go and talk to the person, do it with great gentleness and great humility. And I think that's a way to do it. What we tend to want to do, and this is the whole problem we've addressed, is we see somebody else in sin. And so I'm going to go to Joseph. I'm going to start talking to Joseph about Jessica's sin. When I should go talk to Jessica about her sin, I'm going to say, Joseph, did you know? And then, I'm sowing that seed of strife, okay? Because I'm talking about... I'll try to not do it. But that's the kind of thing we do, especially when somebody has sinned against us. We have a tendency to do this, okay? When somebody has sinned against you, you have two options, okay? There's not a third option. Okay, there are two options. Somebody sins against you, you can go to the person and in love and in humility talk to them about it and say, you did this, it hurt my feelings, and hopefully the two of you can work it out and be reconciled, and they'll ask forgiveness and you'll grant forgiveness and, everything is squared up again. Okay, that's one option. Okay, if it really bothers you, you just can't get over it, that's what you do. Another option is to let love cover it. And just say, I've been sinned against, but I'm just going to absorb it. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to cancel their debt, okay? And I'll absorb the wrongdoing, and that'll be the end of it, okay? So I'm just going to throw the blanket of love over it, okay? Those are your two biblical legitimate options when you're sinned against, okay? What we want to do is go for curtain number three, which is I say, it's not such a big deal that I've got to go talk to the person about it, but it's a little too big for love to cover it completely, the blanket of love. So I know what I'll do. I'll go talk to somebody else about it. And that'll make me feel better about it. And that's not an option. Okay, that's not an option.
What if you go to somebody for advice about a situation? Is that considered gossip per se? Or
I think that there's a place for going and asking for counsel, which may require you to describe a situation that involves somebody else's sin, which I think you can do in a very circumspect way. And I think it should be obvious whether or not your motives are to hurt somebody else, like you're using that as a cover to share something, or whether your motives are really, you know, I'm seeking advice, I want counsel, I want wisdom on what to do. Okay? It's easy for us to disguise our gossip, as asking for advice, or, you know, here's a great one, to disguise gossip as a prayer request. You know, we have got to pray for Joseph, because you won't believe what I saw him doing the other day, okay? You know, that kind of thing. You can't do that, okay? But yeah, there are situations where you would need to go and ask for counsel. I mean, that's definitely true, and that may require you to talk about what someone else has done. But you would do it with somebody you trust, somebody who's mature enough to know what to do with whatever information you share, and you know it's going to be left there. And so that's, you know, that's a different situation. So, and this is part of it, is recognizing who in your life are the people that you can trust. And, you know, with information, and who are the people who are just going to be, you know, you're a talebearer, and then you turn them into a, you know, if you share this with them, they're going to go share it with somebody else. They're going to be a talebearer to you, okay? I mean, some of this is knowing that kind of thing. I mean, so for example, parents have very legitimate reasons to talk to their parents about all kinds of things, you know, sins that go on, whatever. And that's not gossip, okay? Because that's a child trying to, you know, get mom and dad's advice and trying to learn, okay? But, you know, so you know, my kids who are in school, they might come home with a story about, you know, something that happened in school that they would share with us that we can use to teach them and give them wisdom, but they don't need to pick up the phone and call up, another friend from school and say, hey, you won't believe what I saw in class today, okay? A huge difference there. Huge difference in motivation, huge difference in context, huge difference in your purpose and what you're doing, and huge difference in the outcome. You know, because if my kids share something with me, I mean, it ends there. But if they pick up the phone and they call a friend and say, hey, this happened today, you wouldn't believe it. What's that friend going to do as soon as they hang up? They're calling somebody else. You know, it makes the circle.
Nobody does any schoolwork.
Well, that's the problem, yes. There's all kinds of problems with that. No schoolwork and lots of gossip being spread. Y'all probably played the game telephone at some point growing up. I mean, this is the same kind of thing. And this is why gossip so quickly moves into slander. You know, gossip is usually, in gossip, you're saying something is true or has some basis in fact. Okay? Slander is when it's a lie. Okay? But gossip all too easily turns into slander because it's like a fish story, you know. Every time you tell the story about the fish you caught, it gets a little bit bigger. Okay? You're exaggerating, but really, you know, you're lying. You're slanting the truth in your favor. You're putting spin on things. You know, somebody gives you a juicy little bit of gossip, and then you got to spice it up a little bit more before you pass it on. And again, we do it because we want to be the center of attention. We want to look like we're important, like we're in the know. And, you know, then we're choosing to share this information, and that information is power. It makes us look like we're powerful, okay? When really the only thing we have power to do is to destroy relationships and wreak havoc and shoot these fireballs out. And that's the problem. Okay, what else? I mean, I know this is something that we've all dealt with.
I mean, I think a lot of times it shows a lack of sympathy and empathy on the person, because the person that we're slandering, I mean, what if you were to walk in their shoes? And how would you feel if all of this stuff was being said about you? I mean, people don't oftentimes take that into account, and it can be really destructive for that person. Mm-hmm. Whether the gossiper means it that way or not, you know, and especially in today's society with as many, like, depression issues and stuff, mm-hmm. can just spiral out of control.
Yeah, that's really good. I mean, the second greatest commandment, you know, to love your neighbor as yourself, or the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Those are great rules for speech, okay? If I were in this situation, would I want somebody else telling this story about me? Okay? And if the answer is no, then you know right there that you should stop and you shouldn't say anything. Okay? That should be the end of it. That's a good way to think about it. And I think even being able to see things from another person's perspective, to be able to empathize like that, is an aspect of love. You know, to be able to see what the world must look like through their eyes. And, you know, of course, when you do that, you put yourself in their shoes. I mean, that's it's loving your neighbor as yourself. Okay, you're thinking about, okay, if that were me, it's the golden rule, if that were me, what would I want done? You know, same thing.
I just think about all those cases of, a lot of times people think of bullying as, like, physical abuse, too, but a lot of times it can just be gossip and lies, and words cut just as deep, and, I don't know, I'm not one of those people who are, like, on the anti-bullying campaign, but if you think about all the things that were said about those people, and then look at some of the effects of it, I mean, you have kids taking their lives, you have kids retaliating against other kids, and there you can just see a lot of actual, legitimate destruction that plays out.
Yeah, very true. I know a guy he went to, it was probably like his 20-year high school reunion. And so he saw this girl he hadn't seen in years. And, I mean, I don't know if she'd been drinking or not, but as soon as she saw him, she just went crazy with anger because he had said something to her back when they were in high school. And she carried it with her all those years, and it had just, you know, we were talking about this last week, the power of words. She carried this with her all these years, and, you know, all this anger had built up. And then, and the thing is, this guy, when he saw her, he knew it, the second he saw her, and he, you know, he could see how angry she was getting, he knew exactly what it was. He knew what he had done. You know, that he had made some comment about her, and that, you know, he knew at the time that it had hurt her, and he had never done anything about it. And she had just kind of let that anger build up over all those years, and then she just let loose and made for an interesting 20-year reunion. yeah, I mean, you know, we just have to be so careful with our speech. We've got to be so careful with our words. And there are situations, of course, where, you know, somebody does get picked on in a particular context. And I think one thing that we see something like that going on, I think we need to do all we can to stop it. You know, either in our own power or finding authorities who can. I mean, it's a way of looking out for the weak in that kind of context. You know, rescuing somebody from that kind of situation. All right, well, anything else? All right, we've got some other sinful speech patterns we want to talk about next week. We'll probably talk about prideful speech and angry speech and flattering speech, maybe a few others, all that are addressed in the book of Proverbs. I mean, it's just like a catalog of sins of the tongue. You know, it's all in there. And then I want to spend at least 1 week talking about, you know, we're looking right now at using our tongue to curse. We certainly want to talk about how we can use our tongue to bless. The book of Proverbs talks about how well-chosen words and fitting words and wise words can be a wellspring of life and a tree of life to those around us. And so we also want to talk about things like encouragement and affirmation, words of reconciliation, words of peace, words of grace, words of wisdom, that kind of thing as well. So that's where we will go with this in the next couple weeks. Let me pray for this. Father, we do thank you for this time together, and I pray that our discussion here tonight would be useful to us all, that we would really give thought to the words that we say, that we would choose our words wisely and carefully and lovingly, that we would not be busybodies or talebearers or whisperers or gossips, that we would be using our speech to build others up rather than tear them down. I pray that you would help us to do this. We know that we can only begin to speak the truth in love if your Spirit works in us. And so we pray that your Spirit would be at work in us to do this. We pray that you would be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.